This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. Thank you for joining us today, and please join us for worship every Sunday on this station.
What does it take for us to understand what the Christian faith is all about? On this Pentecost Sunday, we'll talk about this question. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, as you came into this world in a very special way, to greet the people on that first Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were convinced that you were the Christ, the Son of the living God, and were baptized into that faith. Come and be in our midst, we pray, not only on this Pentecost Sunday, but at all times. Grant that we may hear your voice speaking through the Word of God, calling us to repentance and to faith and to the promise of life everlasting. In your holy name we pray, amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will, through do and through and do. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine.
Friends in Christ, when we ask the question, at least with some emotion, what shall we do? There is a feeling of desperation. As we read our text for Pentecost, we hear people asking this question with desperation. What shall we do? So I ask today, does this text have something for us that we could take home with us? Do we sometimes say, what shall we do? Let's take a look at God's Word. Well, 3,000 people had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of the Pentecost, which was a celebration thanking God for the harvest and His goodness to them as the people of Israel. The Bible describes the events of that first, what I'd call Christian Pentecost. Here it is. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Suddenly there was a sound like the blowing of a mighty wind. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came to rest on the apostles, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And as this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they wondered, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us hearing his own language?" What does this mean? But others mocking said they were drunk. At that point, Peter stood up and began to preach his famous Pentecost sermon. It's recorded in the second chapter of the book of Acts. He said, "These are not drunk, for what you have experienced here today, the prophet Joel prophesied years ago and said it would happen. This is the coming of the Holy Spirit in a most unique way to live in the hearts of those who trust him." Then the apostles said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, for it was not possible for him to be held by it. This Jesus God raised up, and of which we are all witnesses. We've all seen him. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you see and hear." When Peter was done preaching, the Bible says that the people were cut to heart and said to Peter and the apostles, "What shall we do?" Then Peter proclaimed the gospel. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now this is the message of Pentecost, and Pentecost is the third festival of the Christian church year. It was on this day that the church was born. And so now we ask on this Pentecost Sunday, what message does God have for us? Like those of that first Pentecost Sunday, we have to be convicted of our sinfulness to the point that we too ask the question, what shall we do? That's true. Every person in one sense of the word has to be broken. He has to appear as if there were no hope. Where do I go from here? What shall I do? Hearing a paragraph like this, the world can ask, is this not dangerous teaching? Why do you want to depress people? Why do you want to let them have an inferiority complex? Why is it not better to bring words of encouragement by teaching the philosophy which we hear real often? You can do anything you want to if you set your mind to it, which we know is not true. Well, look at the change which had taken place in Peter's life. And then you'll have to decide if this idea of what shall we do and appearing hopeless affects a person so he will be a weakling for the rest of his life. You decide. A few weeks before, Peter preached this fearless sermon of Pentecost. He did not have the courage to identify himself as one of Jesus' disciples. 3 times he denied Christ, saying that he did not know him. You remember that account? They were taking Jesus to Pilate's court, and they passed by there, and they said to Peter, "Aren't you one of his? Didn't we see you with him?" And three times Peter denied it, once with an oath. "I don't know him. I've had nothing to do with him." But in that last denial, the eyes of Jesus, who was being led through the court, met the eyes of Peter. And that did it for Peter. He was crushed. He was the one disciple who had told Jesus that even if all the others should leave you, I will remain faithful. There were days of real spiritual depression because Peter now saw that in and of himself he had no power. Peter was a desperate man and was asking the question, "What in the world shall I do?" He saw the crucifixion, he witnessed the resurrection, and then occasionally there was just a glimpse of Jesus. He was the risen Lord. Until one day, on the shores of Lake Galilee, that broken disciple asked the question, "What do you want me to do?" You see, no longer did he believe in himself. Rather, he knew that he had to have help. And so when Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. But what do I do?" And the Savior said to him, "Peter, you are forgiven. Now with that spirit, trusting in me and me alone, you can go and be my witness. So go and feed my sheep." This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Peter. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of all of those who belong to him. We do not have strength in ourselves, but with Jesus we can say with St. Paul, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." But the Spirit must lead us to that spiritual place where we say, "Lord, what shall I do?" How does God bring us to that place? Well, one way he brings us to that place is through the law. Paul, in his letters, especially to the Galatians and the Romans, centers our thoughts on what the law is for. The law was to reveal what the will of God was, but the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was the law, when I examined myself in the light of that revelation from God, who caused me to say, "Woe is me, for I am undone. What shall I do?" Just take one of those commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And you and I realize that we are guilty. How many times do I not find myself putting something or someone before God? And then he has to crush me, only to lift me up again. Only then he has to convict me, only to forgive me. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, God using his law in order to bring us to our senses and causing us to realize it is only in him that we are spiritually strong. This is more than an intellectual exercise of saying, "Yeah, I keep a lot of those commandments in my hip pocket. I don't always take them too seriously, but I believe in them." No. This is the Holy Spirit taking those commandments and saying, look, this is the way that God wants you to live. You aren't living that way. And the only question you can come up with is, what do you want me to do? And the answer is the same. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I'll continually forgive you. God has to work through the law, but God also uses circumstances when we are desperate. Let sickness come, some terrible disappointment, death is on the way. The financial chaos that we see in our world around about us today. Where am I going? What am I going to do? Well, we have our own little remedies. But we soon find out that a stiff drink of some kind, a shot of some illegitimate drug, a defiant attitude that hates yourself and all others around you, and even maybe the pistol that could take your own life, these are not the answers. The only answer is that we must come as broken people to the throne of grace and ask, what shall I do to hear the gospel? Trust in Jesus Christ. Yeah, Peter was faithful. He told a story of what they had done. He didn't stay away from any of the facts. You were with him when wicked men put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But again, I want you to know, 50 days after that resurrection, God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it could not hold him. But Peter, like any evangelical preacher, was anxious to get to the core of the message. Look, there's hope. When you say, what shall we do? Jesus doesn't say, well, I don't know, you'll have to work this thing out yourself. The Holy Spirit says, repent, be baptized, and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ will have the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be the recipients of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the good news about 3,000 people who had assembled in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. They did receive Christ. They were baptized, 3,000 of them, the Bible says, and the church was born. It is the good news that the church continues to preach, but often it falls on deaf ears. It is so easy for us who have heard this story of Pentecost over and over again to intellectualize it. We intellectualize our own spiritual conditions. Yeah, we'd like to do something about it. We don't like the way we are. But what? We do not have the power to do it. But all of the time that we are living in this state of spiritual turmoil, the Holy Spirit continues to work in our soul. He doesn't quit. He doesn't quit until we breathe that last breath. Because you know what, friend? He wants our name written in the book of life, together with those who trusted Jesus Christ on that first Pentecost, 3,000 of them. Today there are millions of them, because that little group of people were the recipients of God's grace. And they also took his command to go and tell this glorious story to the world, which they did. And that message of the gospel has spread to the far corners of the earth. And millions of people have asked that question, what shall we do? And God gave them the same answer. And they are alive and new in Jesus Christ. Don't give up. You know, I have to wonder, there were not some of those on that first Pentecost Sunday who did not go home as saved people. They observed all of this. It was interesting to them. But they hadn't gotten to the place where they were so distraught that they said, "What shall we do?" Somebody said, "Should I have joined the 3,000? But then later on, some of those who said no that day repented. The seed had been sown, and it was always time. The Holy Spirit was still working. He never quits again. And if you and I have said no to that glorious message of the Savior, on this Pentecost Sunday, He rejoices if you will only say, "I'm not quitting on you." And you reply back, "It's time that I receive you." He never will quit on us until we leave this world. For it is not only to become a Christian, but it is to grow in the faith. And that too is the work of the Holy Spirit. As a young man, I was enrolled in a confirmation class. And the text for that class was just a very small book. It was called Luther's Small Catechism. And there, one of the assignments along about Christmas time was to memorize Luther's meaning to that third article, which deals with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And then what did Luther write? He wrote, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel." I probably was all but 13 years old at that time. And I did not know this theological argument. I did not know what they were talking about. But it was a part of my confirmation, and the seed was being sown in my soul. I was also given another passage to memorize, and that was from the 15th chapter of John. Oh, I see the value of memorizing that scripture now, which I didn't see in my teens. And there I had to learn it, recite it to my parents before I went to confirmation, and then to the pastors. This blessed verse, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." And I recall, as I've told some of you before, that on a nice morning when I was 17 years old and I was reading my New Testament, I came across that verse. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, I can do nothing." And I reached out my hand and I said, "Lord, what do I do?" And Jesus Christ, who was the same yesterday, today, and forever, said to me, nearly 2,000 years later, "Repent and be baptized and believe." Coming back to Christ every day is a part of the work of the Holy Spirit. For we say with St. Paul, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ will. We have come a long ways when we spiritually ask, "Now what shall I do?" Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we pray again today that we may understand that Christianity is centered in Jesus Christ, but that it is through the Holy Spirit that we are brought to Him. So often we try to gain our own access to the throne of grace, but it does not work. So often we realize as individuals and even as a nation that for our system of government to work, we've got to have a moral base. And then we go about making our own moral base. We cannot make that code of ethics that is adequate. We turn to you, Holy Spirit, and pray that as you have convicted us of our sins and lifted us up in Christ, you can go on and make us great men and women who live for that Savior who died for us. Be with us to that end and bless us on this Pentecost Sunday. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon will be a source of strength for the coming week. Christian Crusaders thanks those who have supported this ministry through their gifts and prayers. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the generosity of our supporters so we can continue to bring the message of the gospel to the world. Some of our listeners have become broadcast sponsors who give a gift of $100 to cover the broadcast costs for 1 week's program on the station to which they listen. If you would like to become a broadcast sponsor or find out more about opportunities to support our ministry, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also donate online at christiancrusaders.org. Christian Crusaders sermons are now available on DVD. Beginning with the Easter sermon, you can watch Reverend Larson give his uplifting, gospel-based message on the resurrection. Call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH to request the Resurrection Series DVDs. That's 1-888-693-2484. To request a CD, cassette, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 73rd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.